Lord, I pray that you would add spiritual words to spiritual thoughts, and that truth would accomplish what you always intended, that it would set us free. Second Chronicles 16:9 is a scripture that I have quoted often over years. It would be one of the bunch of scriptures that would be life verses. I guess if I had to pick one, I would pick one, but when people talk about their life verse, it's like the whole thing's so good. How do you just pick one that's like, that's one? But this would be one. In 2 Chronicles 16:9 in the King James Version says, "The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf." The New American Standard says the same thing, but it says, "The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is completely his, that he might show himself strong on their behalf." Now, I don't know about you, but I long to see, I mourn for it. I want to see God show himself strong on my behalf. How strong can God be? How much can he do that? But there is a prerequisite for that. And that prerequisite is that my heart would be completely his. You know, David was an interesting soul because the scripture says he had a heart after God. And there are other people who have had hearts after God, but it was important to the Lord that that's really put in scripture a number of times about David. And yet David blew it really bad. And yet it says about him, and I think it's verse 22 in Acts 13, it says that he was a man after God's own heart because he was willing to do all of God's will. Now, did he always do God's will? No. But his heart, what he wanted more than anything else in the world, was to do God's will. So again, God's not looking for a perfect walk, but he is looking for someone whose desire, whose decision is that they want to have a heart that's completely his. And then the consequence is he'll show himself strong on our behalf. There's an interesting passage that I like a lot. I had to search for it. I didn't mark it, and I should have. It's in Amos. This is Amos chapter 3, verse 3. So I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to change a couple of words to speak what the Hebrew says, what the actual Hebrew word means. He says, "Do two men walk in union together unless they are in agreement?" You and I are in union with Christ. Every single believer is in union with Christ. We don't work towards union. We don't live towards union. We live from union. But we do live towards experiencing that union fully. And so if I'm in union with Christ, think about that. So therefore, think about it from Jesus' side. See, Christianity isn't being grateful for the life that he gives us. Christianity is being grateful for the life he lives in us. And there's a difference. Most Christians live grateful for the life he gives them, and then they go out and try to show how grateful they are by trying to live that life. Jesus is the Christian life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's Christianity. He's theology. He's doctrine. He is the Christian life. But if we're not in agreement, see, Jesus assumes, therefore, since I died, since I was crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, since I have died and my life is hidden with Christ and God, then therefore Jesus assumes that I understood that. That's what becoming a Christian means. And therefore, my will should belong to his will. My faith actually belongs to his faith. My peace is now his peace. My joy is his joy. Love, my ability to love people is his ability to love people. Love, joy, peace, patience. His patience is my patience. His goodness is my goodness. His kindness is my kindness. His self-control is my self-control. He assumes that. But here's the deal. Because this is a love relationship, the link between who I am and how I live is the choice of love that surrenders to all that. To be in agreement with him. So hear what I'm saying. Well, Bishop, I'm trying to get to a place of having a real surrendered heart. Why don't you yield to his surrendered heart? If he's your life, if he's come to live his life through you, if he's your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, you don't have to work on patience. You surrender to his patience. You don't have to work on joy. You surrender to his joy. You don't work on loving people more. You surrender to his loving people. You don't try to get peace. You surrender to the fact, his peace. It's his faith I live by. But I have to be in agreement with him. I have to surrender to that. Well, let me just say this to you. His surrendered heart is much more ginormous than any place of surrender you think you could come to. So this is a big thing. It's not a small thing. Jesus said you died. The independent self. He wants to know we'll come in agreement with that. That we don't have rights. It's not my ability. It's his. That we're living by his life. But that's so simple to go, oh, so I just need to surrender to your surrendered heart. Now, is there a place where I work on that? Well, I mean, there are times when in that walk, I take a misstep and I go, oh, boy. And I repent and go, Lord, it's your surrender. I don't go, okay, God, help me get more surrendered. No, Lord, I yield to your surrendered heart. Because you didn't do that sin. I did. Because you don't do that. And so I'm just going to get back to being surrendered to you. That means that his will is my will. His affections are my affections. Psalm 56. And one good thing about coming to Noon Eucharist, besides receiving Jesus at the Eucharist, you get to hear me practice what we're going to hear again on Sundays in a bigger way. It's not meant to be practice. It's just stuff God's been speaking to me that morning, but it ends up being a practice because we're going to hear it again. But I like hearing it again, you know? There are songs that I play over and over again, don't you? Psalm 56:13 says, "For you have delivered my soul from death." That's a beautiful picture of getting saved. "Will you keep my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God?" Boy, yeah. That's the Christian life. But only he can. And this one, we'll stop with this one. John 8:12, very familiar. "And again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them repeatedly saying," that's the grammar here, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now notice he didn't say, "I'm going to give you light so you can walk in." He says, "I'm the light of the world." Jesus is the light. He didn't give you light. He is the light. And he doesn't walk in darkness. And so it's not like Jesus is going to give me light about this situation. No, I am the light. Why don't you just follow me? Live in agreement with me. And if you live in agreement with me, then you get to experience me, who's the light of life, being light all the time. You won't walk in darkness. So if there's some area in your life or my life where we're walking in darkness, it's really simple. Because Christ is the light of the world. He can't walk in darkness. It's because I'm no longer in agreement with him about something. I've decided to have it my way, think my way about a person. I don't really have permission to do that. If I have the mind of Christ, I can't sit around and think in offense and criticism and resentment towards somebody. Because if I do, you may be my life, but right now I want to do it my way. I'd rather be offended. Because that's not how he thinks. He doesn't live that way. Remember, I yield to his love. He's my life. So is there a part that we play in the Christian life? Sure. That is, choose to surrender to the union that I have with Christ. Surrender to his faith, to his peace, to his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And if I do, then I will never walk in darkness. We'll walk together in union experientially. I don't want to just teach theologically. We're in union with Christ. That's a great thing. That's a cool idea. That's amazing reality. It's what's even more amazing. I'm walking in union. That would be even greater. I'm actually walking in agreement with him about everything. And I'm experiencing the union. Because again, Christianity is living from Christ, not for Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.